Well, good to see you all. Man, I love the Christmas season. I know I look like I'm dressed for summer here, but man, I love Christmas season. I mean, they've just done a beautiful job, haven't they? And as much as I am a sucker for holidays and cookies and, you know, smell and cider and Christmas trees and just all the decorations, the beautiful thing that we get to celebrate this Christmas season is Jesus. And he is the point of this season, and that's why we gather and that's why we celebrate. Our lives have been changed by this Jesus and the joy that he brings to the world, and that's why we gather and get excited. So that's my hope this morning. As we talk and enter into this season, that the focus would be Jesus Christ, that the focus of our service and the focus of the word would give him glory this morning. So would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word, that your word is life and spirit and truth, that we come to hear from your word. And so may you speak to us this morning. Father, open our eyes, open our hearts to hear from you. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen. So last week we began in a little bit of an unusual passage in looking at Christmas, and we were in John 6, and to give a little background, if you're just showing up today, where we've been previous weeks we talked about the feeding of the 5,000, we were in the book of Mark, but then we were looking in John in a feeding of 5,000, and we see that after Jesus feeds the 5,000, there's a crowd that follows him. And this crowd is looking for him. And Jesus says, don't work. Don't come after me. Don't work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures forever. Food that is eternal life. And Jesus came and he said, I am the bread of life. He said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, though he will die, he will live forever. He says, I am eternal life. You will never be hungry again. You will never be thirsty. And so Jesus promises these things. But in that promise, there's death. Because he says to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now, if you're running a PR campaign and the disciples, I mean, once Jesus had to probably started saying this, I mean, imagine the disciples like, you know, probably, Jesus, what are you doing? Like, don't say that. Because what we see right here, where we're going in the text today, in chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, let's go to John chapter 6. And if you don't, we have Bibles in front in the pews, our big blues in the pews. And if you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you. So you can grab that in front or follow along on the screen. And today, the sermon title's Where? Where? And I'll explain a little more of that title in a little bit. But if you could, we're going to John chapter 6, verse 60. So picking up after all of this, after Jesus explains, he is the bread of heaven that has come down, love that has come down from heaven. That's the message of Christmas. Love came down to this universe, not because we were lovable people, but because the God of the universe loved his children and he desired to be with them. And so love came down. And then it picks up here in verse 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you see that the Son of Man ascended to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. So what's going on here is that disciples, the crowd start to leave. They begin to leave as Jesus is teaching these things. And so he looks to his disciples and he's asking them and he's saying, what's going on here? Because in verse 67, Jesus says this, verse 66. Let me read that. I stopped a little bit too early. Verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus even looks to his own disciples and he says, are you going to leave too? So he asked them, he's looking at his disciples. Jesus begins to teach a very difficult thing. And he begins to say, this is part of who I am. Part of it is dying. Part of it is this flesh. I am going to die in order to give my life away. And the disciples, they didn't want to hear this. They wanted a different type of king that was always powerful and always mighty. And so this is what we get presented with this morning. Jesus has difficult teachings. And some of his teachings are difficult, where many people hear them and say, I want no part of it. And now in Christianity, we will continue to proclaim the name of Jesus. We will not be shy about his teachings. And so we will continue to go here at Wilshire, we will go to the text. But now sometimes texts like this have been abused in Christianity, because sometimes we can just be weird in Christianity, and we can say weird things and say, well, people rejected Jesus, so they're going to reject us. No, they're rejecting us because we're being weird. The only thing we should get rejected for is the words of Jesus, of life. So we want to continue to look at our lives and say, hey, because Jesus came to this world full of grace and truth. Here he says in verse 63 that the flesh counts for nothing. But what Jesus isn't saying here, some people have hyper-spiritualized this and say, see, Jesus only cares about converting people and having people's lives changed for eternity. Yes, that is the main focus. But you also see that Jesus healed the sick. He spent time with the poor. He took care of the poor. He healed the blind. And then as Jesus, we talked about last week, Jesus says, use your worldly wealth to make friends. Physical, that there is value in the physical, but what Jesus says is that these words are eternal life. And so why the disciples walk away? Because of the physical, because the flesh is going to die. And now, so what we want to continue to be about here at Wilshire is dying, is giving ourselves away. I love this verse. Let's go to 1 John 3:16. Says this, if we can pull it up. Do we have it up on the screen? So 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And so our goal is to lay down our lives for others. How do we show God's love? Is by continuing to lay down, to sacrifice for others. You know, this last week, because here at Wilshire, we want to continue to proclaim the gospel. That Jesus says, I come to give eternal life. And earlier last week, we looked at John 6:37. If we can pull that up on the screen too, that Jesus promises that he will never, all that the Father has given to him, he will never reject. Jesus will never reject. So there's this message of love coming down for Christmas. God of the universe comes down and he wants to share this love with all of humanity. And so this love transforms lives. We've seen it in our lives transform our own lives, and that's the message that we want to continue to proclaim here at Wilshire. And so this gets fleshed out in day-to-day and how we love people and just take care of them. So just last week after service, I got to have the privilege and joy to spend some time with Maris, who attends here. And after service, an unfortunate thing happened. Here, his bike was parked on the street, and it was stolen. And so Morris is, we're talking after service, and Tony's here. Yeah, I saw him park it, and man. And so I'm talking to Morris, and he's telling me how this is, you know, hey, I got to get to work. This is my livelihood. And so we're talking, and through the gift of a generous donor, we said, you know what, Morris, we're going to go get you another bike. We're going to go down and get you another bike. And so we're going down to Walmart and getting him a bike so he can get to work throughout the week. And I got to hear his story. And Morris begins to share how he was addicted and caught up in drugs. And so he was struggling in life. But then God came in and transformed his life. And here's the story. I just had him, he said it. I said, Morris, you got to say that again. And so I just pulled out my phone. So it's not great video quality. It's just on my phone. But if we could roll the video.
I'm with Morris here, and he was just sharing a good word. So Morris, what do you got, man?
Well, you don't have to have faith. But if you pray and ask God, he'll give you faith. Because he works miracles in your life. I am a miracle of God.
That's good.
You know.
That's good.
And for me, I'm always praying for stronger faith. Because my faith truly wavers, and all my relatives has already passed away. And being alone, I know I'm not. Because I always have Jesus in my life. He protects me and guides me on my journey.
That's good.
You know, I struggled a long time. But at least I know he never abandoned me. I always walked away from his blessings. But now I don't walk away. I follow his direction.
That's good. You heard it. You heard it from Morris right here, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, God bless you.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Here Morris had a day, and he's like, man, I missed that bike. That was my bike. And yet he was still proclaiming Jesus. He says, you know what? The enemy tries to use times like this to get you discouraged. But that's really when the body of Christ comes in, and a generous person comes in and says, you know what? No. Because God has changed our lives, and so we want to transform and see other lives change. And so that's my prayer this holiday season. Is that we would continue to be generous people here at Wilshire. Man, you know, one of the things I have been so attracted at just coming here to Wilshire, and it's been such a blessing to see the generous people at this church. The generous love that has flown out. And, you know, just even I was in the gym just the other day and seeing it opened up to the community. I mean, these were faithful givers that said, I'm going to see this multi-purpose room, which hosts our Wilshire Live. Wilshire Live, you're sitting in it right now, looking around. And you're seeing people that gave because they wanted to see God's love go out. And I love that about this church. This church has continued to be generous. And that's what God calls us to this season, is to give and to give our life away. As John 3:16 mentions that Jesus Christ gave his life away, and that is our call too, to give our lives away. Yet the reality is, this can be difficult teaching. So the other day I was sitting down, excuse me, I have a little cold here, kind of the holiday season. I know some of you are saying, well, get a jacket then, right? All right, I hear you. I got you. So I was watching now one of my things. I love football. I love football. And so a few weeks ago, I'm a big Raiders fan. I know, booze and everything. How can a pastor be a Raiders fan? I don't know. Pray for me. But so anyway, the Raiders were on a bye, and I was watching the Kansas City Chiefs, and I was hoping they would lose because Raiders, for once in a lifetime, they're sitting at the top of the division, and I'm hoping the other teams beneath them lose. And the Kansas City Chiefs come back at the last second, and they beat the team they were playing. I forget who they were playing, and I'm just, ah. And so I'm kind of trying to indoctrinate my daughter, Ellie, 4 years old. And she kind of sits there, she plays, comes back. But at the end of the game, you know, the quarterback's getting interviewed. And he says, you know, he's on the winning side, he's on the Chiefs. And he says, you know what, the other team, they played great, they did a great job. And, you know, I give my hats off to them. And then my daughter, 4 years old, sitting on the couch, she says, "But Dad, they didn't do great. They lost." And I look at her, I'm like, respect. Like, this little girl tells it like it is. And so there was something about that. I was like, man, it's true. And it's nice to say good, the other team did good. But this little girl, 4 years old, was telling it like it was. No, they didn't do good enough. They lost. And so sometimes in church, we don't tell it like it is because we're afraid. See, Jesus gives difficult teachings. And Jesus, one of the things he talks about more than anything else is money. He talks about it as a theme in not just money, but possessions. Because why? God constantly gives Jesus, the Father, gave his Son, and the Son gives his life away. And so God is a generous God. And then when he calls us to be generous and giving, sometimes from here, from the pulpit in the church, we can get quiet about it. But Jesus calls us to give and to give generously. So kind of a tell it like it is moment. I saw this study by Barna that came out, and it said the 50 most generous cities in America. I was like, all right, where are we? Come on, Fullerton, like, let's get on the map. And so if we could go to the slide, and I begin looking. And so, you know, kind of you've got Bible Belt all throughout here, and I'm just like, okay, that makes sense. Bible Belt, generous givers. But I'm just kind of looking, and I'm like looking and looking. And there's only on this list, I only found, and maybe I need to look deeper, but if you can find it, I only found one California city, Fresno and Visalia. One. Now you could say, well, liberal cities, you know, in California, we're liberal, so that's why. Portland, Oregon is 15. Hipsterville, USA, you know, there is a liberal city there, but they're generous. We have an issue here in Southern California. We have an issue. Do you know that they've done studies and they find that 25 to 35% across nationwide church attendees that have been attending church for years have a zero by their name in giving, have never given a dime to God's kingdom. Because here, and here's where I'm just, you know, laying my cards on the table. This isn't going to be a guilt sermon. It's just, hey, this is our reality. And the fact of the matter is that studies show that middle America, income between about $50,000 to $75,000, they on average are more generous than wealthier counterparts, if you will. That they give about 7.6% of their discretionary income. But that's not even itself a tithe. The Bible calls us to tithe our money, which is 10%. God says, all of this money is mine. And I call you to give a tithe, which is 10%. And so it's all here. And this kind of is an awakening for us. We're not on the map. But the good news is, friends, that we can be generous people and that God's love can transform our lives and we can be generous. So let's get rid of that slide. Because next year that's going to change, right? Come on. That we want to continue to give. And my hope is that we would give God his best. You know, the other day I was sitting, when we moved up to Fullerton, we had to move in a hurry. So we just like grabbed everything and we figured once we would get in our house, then we'd figure out what fits and doesn't fit and then give it away. And so the other last weekend or a few weekends ago, my wife and I were going to have a garage sale and get rid of some nice furniture and things that just didn't quite fit in our house in the way it was all fitting. And so, you know, we're getting ready the next day, we're gonna have a garage sale, and then afterwards we were gonna donate everything that wasn't sold and we're gonna give it off to a nonprofit that I really admire around here that is in this community and is helping get homeless people off the streets, and it's a great organization. So I was like, yeah, what a great cause. Like, afterwards, the things I don't sell, I'm going to give it away. That night, it was so interesting. I saw a flyer from this organization sitting on my counter. And I heard, because a Christian organization, and they're seeing lives transformed. And so I heard, I just felt God clearly say, Rob, why don't you give them your best instead of your worst? Why are you just going to have your garage sale and then give them the leftovers? And this was kind of late at night, and I'm like, you're right, God. Cancel the garage sale. All of this, we're calling that organization, and they get everything. They get the best. Now, let me tell you this. I'm not that holy, because in my mind, it's like, well, I don't have to get up early. I'll get a good tax refund for this. You know, so I'm not special, but now that I've gone on record, I'm going to have to use that tax refund, and that's going to the church. Because really, this lifestyle of giving, it's something that our church does. The Kaderas here, the church, we tithe our own money. The money that comes in, we give away. And my family does it. We practice this. This isn't something I'm just saying, hey, this is something we need to do. This is something that I'm saying our church does, I do, my family does, and God calls us to give. Now look at this. I love this verse in Malachi, if we could go there. Malachi 3. If you're in your Bible, it's just New Testament and then just one off to the left. Malachi 3. So if you're at Matthew and then go off to the left. Malachi 3 says this, verse 8, will a mere mortal rob God? This is the question. Oh, let me back it up first. It says, ever since, verse 7, it might not be on the screen, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and you have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and that there may be food in my house. If you're taking notes, test me in this. Test me. So in your notes, The second point down is, test me by God. And the first, let me back up. I tend to forget to give you my notes. So they're always online. You can always check that. The first note is, let Jesus be your identity. It's simple. It's belief. How we trust Jesus is by believing. Jesus said that last week. He said, anyone, the God's work that is required is to believe in the Son who sent him. Because this Jesus transforms lives. And so that's why we want to be generous. And so when God calls us to be generous, God's saying here, how the people are saying, God, how do we rob you? And he says, everything is mine. I'm asking for 10% to give so you can see others be loved, others' lives transformed, so others can experience my love. And God says, I'm asking for 10%. Because really, money is a heart issue. That Jesus says it, that it's involving our heart and how we give. Jesus says he wants our heart. And that's what he wants. And so God, when he calls us to give, he says, test me. I love Pastor Kirk, our previous pastor, a wonderful man, who always said this here at Wilshire in a great tradition, which I love. He said, test God in this. He says, money back guaranteed in tithing. I love this. Do you remember him saying this? He said, go ahead. If you're not tithing, I want you to work your way up and begin giving 10% of your income to the kingdom. And he says that if you don't, he says, if for some reason you come in hardship and just you're not making it, the church will give you your money back. Money back guarantee, because why? It isn't something that we can stand on here at Wilshire and say, yeah, we've just got tons of money coming in, money back guarantee. No, it's because we get to stand on this promise right here. God says to test him. Why? Because he says this, verse 10, after bringing the whole tithe in, and then it continues on, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Now, here's where this verse can get abused. There's the prosperity gospel that says, give so you can go and just be blessed and drive whatever car you want and have whatever, just all the wealth in the world. The prosperity gospel says, give so you can get more and keep it to yourself. That's not what the gospel's saying. The gospel is saying, give. We talked about a few weeks ago, earn all you can, save all you can, so you can give all you can. Give away. I mean, test God in this. It's fun. You start giving away, and he ends up blessing you with more to give. I was with Pastor Mark this week, and just kind of in an off, you know, we weren't talking church, just talking life, and I just got a glimpse into his mind of, he was saying, man, one day, he was just dreaming, and he's like, man, one day we were visiting with some people, and he was like, one day that's going to be me. I'm going to look at a young pastor or somebody and say, whatever it is, let me write that check and support the kingdom. It was neat to see, just to hear him dream about being generous and loving other people and giving money to the kingdom. And that's really because God promises to bless us when this happens. So test God. If you're afraid, how am I going to have enough for rent or mortgage or this? God says, test me. I will bless you. I will take care of you. It was so neat to hear the Kadera story this week, being in difficult and poverty-stricken areas in Guatemala. And some people have said, what are you doing in that part of the city? And they're trusting that God will take care of them, that God will provide. And because that's how you can live. They're living a generous lifestyle knowing that God will take care of them and that God will protect them no matter what. So that's the call that we have this holiday season, to give. Now, traditionally, sometimes in budgets and you know, just cards on the table, it looks like we'll be a little short at the end of this year. But my hope, instead of just coming up here and saying, well, let's try and get to the end of that budget, as a church, my prayer is that we're not just surviving year to year, but that we're thriving. Because our ministry is about seeing lives thrive and communities thrive and lives being changed. So as we look at the ask is this, that you would consider giving above and beyond your tithes so we could see 2017, the mission, the vision here at Wilshire, thrive. We want to see God's kingdom come. We want to hear more stories like Mara, lives being changed and transformed by God's love. Because there's, and this is where we're going to bring it home. Go back with me to John 6. Jesus says this in verse 67. He looks at his 12 and he says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? I love that. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. In Jesus are words of eternal life. The reality is we live in a pluralistic world and where we want to accept every religion and accept everything. And it's good to show grace and be kind to people. But the reality is nobody is coming back for anybody but Jesus. There's only one that's coming back, and that's Jesus. And so the disciples are looking to him and saying, where else can we go? Essentially, what else can we do? Where else are we going to spend our money? How else are we going to live our lives? Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. We're not getting life anywhere else except in you. And so the call this morning, and my prayer is this, this isn't just some emotional plea to give a generous above and beyond. My prayer is that we would be a generous church constantly, not just during Christmas season. We joked a few weeks ago, we want to do Christmas in July, helping our food bank across the street, helping those that need meals when the end of the month comes and they don't have meals. We want to be a generous people always. So this isn't just some write, let everyone pull out your checkbooks, write a checkbook. Okay, I've given it, now I feel better. This call is a call to whom else shall we go? Where else are we going to find life when we give our lives away? I want to end with this last story. That, let me see if I have it here. I believe his name was, I believe it's Jim Becker, or John Becker. He was a Green Bay Packers fan. And so he was going, he had always saved up money, and he always dreamed of going to Packers game, but he had 11 children. He was a veteran from the war, and so he didn't have a lot of money. So he had to find, he worked hard, and he had to find some extra way to make a little extra income to go to Packers games. Football. Gotta have football. And so what he did, he gave his blood away. And so over the years, he would give and give and give his blood away so he could earn enough money to go to these Packers games. Later on, years later, he learned that he had a condition called hemochromatosis. And hemochromatosis, what it does is it's an absorption in your gut of too much iron. And so he found that here he was giving his blood away. Yet the doctor said after 20 years, because the only way you can heal this genetic condition by hemochromatosis is actually giving blood away. The reason he lived longer than he did, because he gave his blood away. There was a bonus, sure, he got paid to do it, but he was helping others by doing it, by giving his life away. And to me, that's a beautiful picture of the kingdom. As we are called, as just as Jesus gave his life away, we too get to give our lives away. And in doing so, we will actually come to find life, an eternal life. And so Jesus calls us to give our lives away. Morris said it on the video. You don't have to have faith. Sometimes we lack faith. Yes, we need faith, but God is the one that gives you faith. And that's what Morris got to tell us. If you lack faith, God will give it to you. Giving is about faith. It's about trusting. As I give, do I trust that God will take care of me? Do I trust in the words of eternal life? That no matter what, this call to die, as he gave the disciples, to eat my flesh and to drink my blood, this call to die is actually a call to live. Would you enter in with Jesus this holiday season and find the greatest joy there is to give? To give above and beyond, to give wildly, and just to see the amazing things that God does. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, you have changed so many of our lives in here. Lord, and maybe there's some of us here today. Lord, this can be a family conversation, a conversation that can be difficult if somebody's coming in. But Lord, at the same time, there's this message of life. That you give the promise that you say you will never reject anybody that comes to you. So Lord, maybe there's some of us right now that are saying, Father, I want to have life. I want to find joy in my life. I've been spending my money, I've been spending my thoughts, my energy on myself, and I'm sick and tired of it. Father, in you, you have life and words of life. And maybe today I want to start following you and to trust you. Lord, maybe some of us that we've been for a long time been following you, maybe right now our prayers that we would trust you, that we take steps of faith by giving and knowing the most beautiful thing, that you gave your son away so that we could live. Lord, that's what we're gonna celebrate here in a moment, that we're reminded that we come to the table empty and weak, and Lord, yet it is by your grace and your love that we are transformed and renewed. We pray these things. And Father, we pray for just a generous offering in these next few weeks, that your church would thrive, that we would get to see your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.